Coming up in this episode of the Dark Theme Park Show, we give you a rundown of the Lunar New Year at Universal Studios Hollywood. Greetings and welcome to the Dark Theme Park Show, Creepy Kingdoms podcast, all about theme park stuff. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this very episode, we give you the rundown of the Lunar New Year celebration at Universal Studios Hollywood, as well as our thoughts on some of the other updates that are happening currently at the park. Alrighty, it's time to open the gates. Hey everybody, I'm James and I'm joined by Roxy.
Hi.
And we are here to tell you about an event that we have recently attended at Universal Studios Hollywood called the Lunar New Year. I think it's just called that, right? It's not the new Lunar New Year celebration or
yeah, no. They're just calling it Celebrate Year of the Pig during Lunar New Year at Universal.
And most of this is heavily inspired and themed with the characters from Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, the middle of the park where Grinchmas was, for those of you who got to see that over the holidays, is transformed into Paradise Valley, I think it's called.
That sounds about right, maybe.
Yeah,
something
where the characters from Kung Fu Panda live in the movie. So,
we went through a magic porthole
to Paradise Valley, no longer in Universal Studios. Because, as we found out, when James told Mr. Ping he had the finest noodle shop in Universal Studios, Mr. Ping does not know what that is.
Yeah, there's a little teaser there.
Yep.
But, I'm pretty confident this is the second year they've done it. It's not the first, I know, because I went last year. This is your first time going.
Yep.
But it's definitely a fun offering. And we did many activities. There was a lot of room for activities.
It was a lot of fun. It was a really cool little celebration. I like that. I like that it was really all in one spot. I thought that was really cool because it meant that you could take the time that you wanted, but if you didn't have a lot of time or if you wanted to go do other things, you could totally accomplish everything that was there for Lunar New Year. And it's not like you had to run all over the park or anything like that. Right. I love that it was all like sent in one central location.
And focus on that too, instead of being distracted if you're running all around.
Yeah. So I think we should just like go down a list of what they have and then we can talk about our experiences with different things.
Okay.
And, of course, we don't have a list in front of us, so we're going to wing it because that's what we do.
I was like, where's this list you speak of?
In my brain. Okay.
Right.
So
you sound like you're really steering the ship here. I might as well just sit back and let you take course.
I am. I don't know why that is. A few minutes ago, I like wasn't even ready, and now I'm like, all right, let's do this. Go ahead, James. You can take the lead.
No, I'll let you. I was all about it.
All right. So in the center court, they have little stations set up. And the biggest one, of course, is like the main stage. And at the main stage, they have all different shows and presentations and whatnot, different on the weekdays than on the weekends. On the weekends, they have a little bit more. But that was cool. So we saw a few things there.
Mm-hmm.
They have Mr. Ping's Noodle Shop, where not only can you talk to Mr. Ping, which is awesome, but you can also buy really good noodles. There are character meet and greets all over the area. They're not actually in the little area. They're right outside of it, but they are still close enough that you don't have to go very far. Let's see. There's a few other like food offerings at the other restaurants around the property, and so we'll talk about that a little bit. And then there's cool stuff like wishing trees where you can write your wish and you can hang it on there. And there's an art class and there's a calligraphy thing, and just all kinds of little stuff going on.
Well, that was a little overview, which is good. So what was the first thing that we did?
The first thing we did was actually we came across the Minions first.
Oh, yes.
As we were walking out, which was cool because, it was Kilo Mini. Okay, so I'm not a big Minions fan, you guys. I've never been a big Minions fan. I hadn't seen the Minions movie, but I wasn't really big on the Despicable Me movie. But seeing the Minions in the park has actually totally changed my mind about that, because they're adorable for like characters that can't actually talk to you. They're just super cute. Well, and I really like them.
Well, this is the kind of deep dive that you expect at a Creepy Kingdom podcast. What's interesting is, you know, they're not face characters, obviously. But they're characters that in their animated form do speak, but do not speak English. So you're not really expecting to hear from them as you are from Mickey Mouse.
That's a good point. I don't know how the Minions at Universal can be so expressive when they literally have one expression on their costume faces, but they really are, and I totally dig them. So I love seeing the Minions. Like, I'm not even gonna lie.
And that was your second encounter with the Minions, or
it was
because your first time you were working out with them.
at a
previous event we went to.
That was fun. Work out with the Minions. Nothing could go wrong. No, but it was just, he was super cute, and I loved his little outfit. He was in a little Lunar New Year outfit. And that was really cute. And like, he bowed and the whole thing. So I thought that was really cool and just a little bit more than they would normally do. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And the Minions can pretty much fit into anything.
Right. You can put them anywhere.
Yeah. I like them. I like the Minions movie. I like them as characters. Sometimes people might be annoyed with them, but they always seem very similar to the aliens from Toy Story.
Ooh. That's a good point.
So the first time I saw Despicable Me, that's kind of what I thought. So
that makes sense.
But anyways.
So from there we headed over to the stage, and the first thing that we got to see was the story of Lunar New Year, which I thought was really cool because I remember learning about Lunar New Year when, you know, it was still called Chinese New Year back in elementary school, but I certainly did not remember, you know, everything that they taught us. And even if I had, half of it probably would have been wrong because, you know, the 80s were kind of like that. So we got to see and hear the story of Lunar New Year and how it started. And they do this audience participation thing and they bring the kids up and they have the kids kind of play the part and help out and whatnot. And so that was really neat. That was cool. It like set the tone for the rest of the day.
Yeah. And there's when certain words are said or characters are mentioned, there's the kids and the audience, the adults are supposed to make little noises or sound effects. And
yeah. So that was neat. And then that ended and it basically went right into the Dragon Warrior Kung Fu training show, which is it's a little bit like the Jedi Academy at Disneyland.
Yeah,
where they get the kids to come up and like teach them moves and stuff like that, except for this one is starring like a Kung Fu master and a Kung Fu student and Po from Kung Fu Panda.
Well, Poe is—he's the Dragon Master. He's some kind of master.
Yeah, he is. But like this, I don't know. It seemed more like there was the Kung Fu Master who was the teacher, and then there was Poe and the other person who were like not students, but like
following the lead.
Goofballs.
Yeah, and the way that I kind of viewed that other person was that the fact that Poe doesn't talk. He was kind of taking on Poe's personality verbally.
Right. Pretty much.
And Poe's huge as a character goes.
Yeah, he's a big bear. He's a big guy. But again, like, even without having a being a face character or having a costume that really moved at all, he was able to emote pretty well, which is impressive.
He was doing kung fu. I think he was moving a lot, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, no, I meant the face.
Oh, okay. Yes. The face being cool. His face was not moving at all.
So that was fun. And that was, you know, that was cute to watch, and watching the kids was really cute. And it was, we were there early in the day, so there weren't very many kids. So literally all of the kids that were sitting in the audience got to go up there, and like, that was really cool. 'Cause really everybody that was there got to be involved, and it was really cute.
It's a fun show. And I'm sure that it's really thrilling for the kids that get to be a part of it.
Yeah. I would have done it if they would have let me.
Well, you didn't even try, actually.
Because I'll tell you what, if there had been no kids, I would have volunteered in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I know you would.
I would have gotten up there and done it. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, I know.
So let's see. From there, I think after that we went and did – well, we looked around a little bit and just kind of took in the sights and, like, got the layout of where everything was. And I think after that we went and did another character meet and greet that I was super excited about.
Oh, wait. Well, didn't we do one right after the show?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because after the show ends, Poe goes – backstage and mysteriously comes back out because it's totally the same Poe.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Okay, that's right. They did the story, and then there was like a super short break, and then they did the Kung Fu Training Academy thing, and then a super short break, and then Poe came back out to do pictures
with Tigress, who was not part of the show.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's right. So we went from the show, and then we immediately went and took pictures with them. And that was cool because there's a video of it. We'll get it up somewhere. We have to put it up because it's like James doing like kung fu moves with with Poe and Tigress, and it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I said I traveled far to learn kung fu, and so they actually started trying to teach me non-verbally, of course. Yep.
It was rad. And I just stood there and was like, I'm not allowed to do kung fu.
Really? You're banned from doing kung fu?
Yeah, my arm was in a sling at the time. And so the handler guy was actually, oh, I see you did too much kung fu. And I was like, yeah, that's what happened. I over kung fu'd it.
I guess that's a thing. Over kung fu'd it. Yeah. Kung fu'd it.
Totally a thing.
Well, speaking of kung food, no, we're not. Wait, no, are we going to skip into the food? Or are we going to go to our next meet and greet?
No, we're doing. We went to Mr. Ping's.
That's right. Well, it is food related. So,
totally food.
Mr. Ping. Now, if you haven't,
got to see Mr. Ping last year, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I know you on the way there. You were talking about how excited you were to go and do this again.
Yeah, I was completely blown away last year. This is a – you walk up to the stand, you know, it's Mr. Ping's noodle shop, and the curtain opens, and there's a puppet that's, you know, its mouth moving.
I believe it's called an animatronic.
No, this is a puppet.
That thing's a puppet?
Yeah, it's not an animatronic.
Oh.
The thing is that it's what – Disney fans might refer to as a living character because it, you know, there's somebody talking to you. You can hear Mr. Ping. He can hear you, and he's moving and talking to you in real time. And I believe I heard somewhere that this puppet was actually created at the Henson Creature Shop. So this is like one of the best meet and greets that's even going right now in any theme park. And it's, he's such a funny character, very witty, and just, he just literally seems like he's alive. In the past, last year when I went, I was telling him, like, oh, I can't wait to try your noodles. He's like, all right, James, go try my noodles. Like, that's my name. And then I came back later to say, hey, He's like, oh, James, you're back. I was like, I tried your noodles. Yay, you tried. Like, he remembered talking to me.
And he remembered your name.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
which
so,
is incredibly impressive.
So, like, I'm impressed by this as a as an adult. I can't imagine children interacting with this thing. I mean, this is, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Mr. Ping is not, like, the most popular character even in Kung Fu Panda.
No, but this experience certainly puts him up there.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And what's cool about it is that one side is the meet and greet of this building, of the show building, and the other side, it's not even a show building, that's not the wrong term, but the other side of it is where you actually can buy noodles. So keeping with the continuity of that, this is literally Mr. Ping's noodle shop.
So as you're talking to him, you'll say something about the noodles or about the food or something like that, and he'll turn around and like yell to the kitchen.
Right.
Which makes perfect sense because it's literally in the same building. They did an amazing job. Like we said, we told him we wanted to try, he asked what we were looking forward to, and we said we wanted to try one of everything. You know, we were like, well, we'd like to eat, you know, have you seen us? And he turns around and he yells to the kitchen, we're going to be rich.
Right. One of everything. Open a franchise. That's what he said.
Right. Yeah, that's what he said. He was like, we'll be able to franchise.
Like I said, very the people that are working at Mr. Ping, very talented. I'm not sure. And this is obviously the same technology that we'll get into a little bit later that they use for the Transformers meet and greets where, you know, somebody's speaking. It's always the same voice you're hearing and they could hear you. You know, I mean, I have my idea of how this works, but I don't literally know.
I don't know.
What's happening. And it's fun that I don't literally know, actually.
Yeah. I've thought about looking it up because, you know, I'm a huge Transformers fan and I would love to, like, know the logistics behind it. But I decided not to.
Yeah.
I don't want to know. I want to keep that, like, little bit of magic there just, you know, because I can. I like it.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, and it is definitely something that Universal has up on Disney right now because the only thing that was even similar to this in any Disney park, which I believe has stopped recently, I can't confirm this, but was the Talking Mickey meet and greet that was at Magic Kingdom. I know you haven't experienced that firsthand, but have you seen videos of it?
Yes.
And those are canned responses that Mickey is saying. He's not talking in real time.
No, this is totally beyond that.
Yeah.
But we did end up eating Mr. Ping's noodles. And we did, in fact, order
one of everything.
We kept our word to Mr. Ping, and we went around the corner, and we actually ordered one of everything. Now, it's not a huge menu, so that was actually only, like, four things.
Oh, yeah. That makes it sound like we were going crazy.
Right? No. Okay, so it's the noodles, and you can get, I think it was chicken, beef, or vegetable.
Right. Correct.
And then pork buns and egg rolls. And
it was it pork dumplings?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember what kind of, I think it was definitely dumplings. I just don't recall.
The dumplings or the pork buns. It was pot stickers were the other one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what it was. It was four things: egg rolls, pot stickers, pork buns, and noodles. And everything was super good.
It was good. It was reasonably priced. I know when you go to the theme park, you're going to get a theme park upcharge. And a lot of theme park food is hit or miss in any park. But this was delicious. I don't know, whatever kind of a sauce that was on the, it really is about the sauce. I think that really makes the noodles dish, whatever that was. It was high quality. Like, it was really good. Everything we had was delicious. We Roxy and I split everything that we, the one of everything, so we could report back for journalistic integrity.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of dim sum, just in general. I love going to dim sum restaurants. So, and you know, I did not have high expectations for theme park restaurants. dim sum, but it was really good. You know, it was good for theme park food, and I would totally eat it again. Like, I was down.
Yeah, kind of wish that was something that could go on, you know?
I think they should have it year-round.
Now, they had other food there that I'm seeing it online looking at their overview there, but I didn't see it in the park, which was teriyaki turkey leg and Asian sausage on a stick. Apparently they had carts. Did you see those carts? They weren't in that area if they were.
I didn't see any cart. Maybe that's a weekend thing.
Maybe.
Cause you could also get ices. It said like this passion fruit, orange icy. I totally would have got that if I had seen it. Like, yum.
Overall, Universal has definitely been stepping up their original food in both coasts. So I've been pretty impressed. You know, also in this park, something that was not impressive is they have Panda Express.
Yeah, well, you know, sponsors are sponsors, right?
Sure.
But yeah, there are other food offerings for Lunar New Year at some of the other restaurants in the area. You just have to, you know, basically anywhere in that area that you walk into, there's going to be something celebrating it. So
yeah, I think that's enough to say on the food. I know I listen to other podcasts talk about food. I'm like, I, for one, am not super interested in hearing people discuss food. I just want to eat it.
Agreed.
But it's worth mentioning that we both think this is high quality food. Yeah, that's all.
It's very yummy.
Yep. All right. So we had a nice little meal.
Okay. So then we went and saw Hello Kitty.
Yes.
That's what I was getting to earlier.
Okay.
I was super excited. I love Hello Kitty. I've always loved Hello Kitty. I have a Hello Kitty tattoo, which I totally did not show Hello Kitty while we were there. Like, wow. I know. Because my arm was in the sling, and that was the arm that I have the tattoo on. And I was very sad when I realized later that I didn't get to show her my tattoo.
Well, side note, Hello Kitty is always at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Yes. But this was Lunar New Year.
And the last time I went to the park. I went with Shannon, and Shannon wanted a picture with Hello Kitty. So I was just going to take the picture. But Hello Kitty was like, no, she summoned me over to be a part of the picture as well and gave me one of the best hugs I've ever had in my life.
Aww.
And I was like, wow, I was like, Hello Kitty is literally one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life.
Which is, like, so true to form. You know, Hello Kitty is literally one of the nicest people, like, on Earth. Like, that is her character. It's what she is supposed to be. So it's so, like, but I've heard from a lot of people that the Hello Kitty meet and greet, no matter when you go at Universal, is really good.
So yeah, she didn't summon me over to join the picture with you, but probably because she felt bad because your arm was in a sling.
That could be it. She did point that out, and non-verbally we talked about each other's outfits, and she pointed to my sling, and she actually kissed my arm. So she did a little kiss on her hand, and then put her hand on my arm. So
sweet.
Did Tigress, come to think of it.
Tigress kissed your arm.
Yeah, remember, like, as we were walking away, you mentioned it. You were like, did Tigress just kiss you? I was like, yeah, I got all better kissing.
yeah, I do remember that now. I was confused, kind of like, it's like, wow, that was very intimate. But no, I didn't realize it was like, I'll make it better kiss. I was like,
hey, you know what? Cats like me, all right? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a trend here.
Other than that, I'm very popular with the kitties.
I guess so. Meow. You could say that. Yeah. And actually, I think this is a good time to point this out, too. You had mentioned something that you had a realization as around this time. So in this area, pretty much inside the Promenade, I think. What is that area called?
Yeah.
I think it's the Promenade. Inside that area, everything had to do with the Kung Fu Panda universe. And then if it wasn't part of that, it was on the outside.
Yes. So Hello Kitty was right outside. Minions were right outside, et cetera, et cetera.
But also right outside were so many just characters that are usually at Universal Studios Hollywood. And you had mentioned, just like, I there's the abundance of character opportunities in such a small square footage.
That
was mind-blowing.
Was so cool. I am super used to Disneyland, where when you first walk into the park, there's maybe, you know, 2-3 characters right up front, if you're lucky, taking pictures. And then when you walk, like, actually, you know, into, like, Town Square, there's, you know, what, maybe 4, you know, 3-4 characters mm-hmm. hanging out, taking pictures, and they have super long lines. And, you know, so unless you really, really want those pictures, you just walk past. But, and I, this is the first time I've ever been to, well, since I was a kid, but that I have been to Universal during the day. Every other time we've gone, it's been at night. So I did not know about all of the character meet and greets, and I was completely blown away by how many characters there were, and there weren't super long lines, and they were just fully interactive with the, like, the guests and stuff. And what, it had nothing to do with Lunar New Year, but what really blew me away was the Scooby Gang.
I was like, we got to bring up the Scooby Gang, because that was like magic.
That was so cool. So we're standing there, we're hanging out, we're standing there, and we're looking around, and there's the Scooby Gang. And I was like, oh my God, because I love Scooby-Doo. And I was like, that's so cool. And they're taking pictures and blah, blah, blah. And then they go, they're getting ready to leave, and this little girl walks up dressed as Velma.
And she was probably like 6.
Yeah. And she's got the glasses, and she's got the magnifying glass in her hand. And she was so cute. And she walked up. And so they were about to leave and, like, you know, walk backstage. And so they stopped to talk to her and hang out. And so they're like legitimately hanging out with this little girl.
Yeah, the whole Scooby cake.
I was blown away. And then the little girl's little sister walks up dressed as Fred. Yeah. With the ascot and the whole thing. And I was just like, oh my God, this little 3-year-old in this little dress. And it was just, I could not, you guys, the cuteness was too much. And so they decided to play, like, follow the leader. So they let the little one go in the front, and they all put their hands on each other's shoulders. And so they're, like, walking through the park playing follow the leader. And then Frankenstein's monster comes out, because apparently that's, like, a normal thing. He's there too, along with Dracula, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but then Frankenstein's monster comes out. But then Frankenstein's monster sees them playing follow the leader. So he goes behind Scooby, who's in the back, and, like, puts his hands on Scooby's shoulders. So now he's playing follow the leader. And it was legit a scene out of Scooby-Doo. Where,
right, like, they don't realize the monster is, like, part of walking with them. Yeah, yeah.
They did not realize that the monster was there, and it was just, and then they turned around and they saw it, and it was literally a real life Scooby-Doo scene. But they played with these kids for hell of long.
It must have been like a half an hour,
right? And then we had other stuff to do, so we were like, okay, we
watched it for like about 10 minutes. But I feel like as we were in that area, I still saw them playing with the kids for like at least half an hour.
They were playing like freeze tag.
Yeah.
And then we went off to do other things. We did many, many, many other things that day. But we went off to do other things, and as we were leaving the park, we headed back. You know, we went all the way down to the lower lot. We did transport, blah, blah, blah. We headed back, and the Scooby Gang is there. These two little girls are still there with them, and they're all sitting around playing Duck, Duck, Goose.
That had to be a different Scooby Gang by that point, right? I mean,
still, like,
yeah.
I mean, they did. I saw the Scooby Gang go backstage, so I know that they weren't there like the whole time.
Right.
But they must have come. I mean, they came back out, and the girls were still there, and so they're still playing with them. And I just thought that was like one of the just most amazing character interactions.
Yeah, I got to be honest. Like, you know, Scooby Doo, and I didn't really think about it until that day. I hadn't thought about Scooby Doo in a long time, to be honest with you. But I always cite a lot of early Disney things as my introduction to horror. That's kind of the basis of Creepy Kingdom. but I feel I think Scooby Doo is a big part of that too, because I definitely loved Scooby Doo at a young age, and it was scared of the zombies and monsters that were on the show. And if I at that age, if my parents were like, okay, instead of like let's go to the park and play on the playground, are going to take you to go hang out with Scooby and the gang.
Right?
Like, because those kids are young enough to think that those are them. like it's such a mind-blowing thing.
I was a huge Scooby-Doo fan when I was little. I loved it. And again, you know, it was horror that was safe for kids. But, you know, I loved the monsters and I loved the mysteries and I loved all that. I was a huge Daphne fan. I wanted to be her, you know. Like 110%. If my mom had looked at me at 6 years old and said, we're going to go to the park so you could meet Daphne, like, and hang out with Scooby, I would have blown my mind. And like, not only did these kids get to meet them and take pictures, but they actually got to play. They will remember that for the rest of their lives.
I'm thinking that this is a common occurrence. That was the feeling that I got. Like, this is, because it was just too perfect.
Yeah. It was really cool, but there were all kinds of other little, like, we didn't really get to see a lot of the character interactions because, you know, we were working and doing stuff, but I kept noticing them out of the like corners of my eyes, and every single one, just, it wasn't just take a picture and walk away. You know, it was like honest interactions, especially with the face characters.
Right. I mean, pretty much in that area, which I don't know if it has a name, but it's kind of like there's like this New York street there. There's just so, before you get to the DreamWorks Theater, there's just so many characters just hanging out, and they're all face characters basically. I mean, just like on a normal day, independent of the Lunar New Year, because Beetlejuice, he's out there most of the time. We got Frankenstein, who doesn't talk, but Dracula. Dracula's there. Lucille Ball is there. Sometimes Marilyn Monroe. Yeah, I don't know. Was Marilyn there that day?
Yep, she was there.
So, and then we have these people that are not characters or known characters, but they hang out in the windows of the New York Street apartments as though they're like just looking on the window. You know, heckling people as they walk by.
I didn't think that was real.
What do you mean you think it was real? What do you think it was?
Okay, so you know how in Disneyland, like where the lockers are, how like you could walk by and like the windows would like, there were people talking in the building.
Right, yeah, it's like simulating that, oh yeah, that it's a pre-recorded thing that you hear people up there. Yeah.
Yeah, when we first walked through, like that's what I thought it was. I didn't know there were people up there.
Oh yeah, no, there were people up there.
Yeah, it was really cool though. It was super cool, and even like, because they're walking around, and most of them are face characters, and they're allowed to kind of say whatever they want, and you know, as long as it's in character. Like we walked by Dracula, and we didn't stop. You know, we didn't ask to take a picture or anything like that. We just walked by him on our way to wherever, and he was on his way to wherever, and he like slows down and looks at me and licks his lips and goes delicious and like walks on. I'm like, did Dracula just hit on me? Like it was just awesome. All of the character interactions were amazing.
Yeah, well, I think the only connection we had was that I think both you and I were both we both locked eyes with him. So he just meant it. Yeah, you know, he's like, yeah, they're gonna remember walking by me. You know, that was
that was awesome. It was just really cool. I had no idea all those character interactions were there, and now I can't wait to go back. Like when I have some actual time, because I want to go. I want to spend hours there and take pictures and hang out and whatnot.
Well, we did spend hours there. Did we conclude? No, we didn't conclude Lunar New Year. I do want to talk a little bit about the rest of our day here. But okay. But we also, they had the drawing class.
That was cool. They had a little drawing class where they taught you to draw characters from Kung Fu Panda. We got to draw Crane. We actually, we did a joint drawing where I started it and James finished it.
Both of our artistic skills are at stick figure level.
Yeah, our artistic skills are done. But actually, I really like the guy's instruction was really good. I felt like I was actually drawing a character. I was like, oh, okay, I got this. All right. Okay.
Like, the why did you abort and hand it to me to start drawing?
Because my arm hurt.
Okay. All right.
Because I had to hold it funky and my arm was hurting. So I was like, okay, here, you take over. But yeah. And then we also, we did our wishes.
Oh yeah, like, you write on a ribbon and putting it and tie it to a tree. I'm sure there's mm-hmm. some other phrasing that they have for that activity besides what I said. It's not called the ribbon tree. I'm sure it has a much grander title than that.
That was really cute, and there's just these little tables all over the place, and they have the little ribbons on them, and then there's little, you know, there's trees all over the place, and they have clips on them, and it's really small, but it's super cute, and it's just something fun to do and really interactive, and so that was cool. What else was there? We didn't get to do it, but on the weekends they do a calligraphy,
right? I don't think they do it every weekend, but basically what we were told was that during the weekends while this is going on, there's different groups that come from the community to share different parts of the Chinese culture.
Yeah, so there's they did a little calligraphy thing that was kind of like the drawing thing that we did. There's different groups that come and perform on the stage. And I think it's just kind of when you're there, you know, whoever happens to be there that day.
Right. So it's a little bonus. And the last thing we didn't really participate because it would be counterproductive. There is a Mandarin speaking Megatron.
Awesome. It was awesome. They brought Megatron up from the lower lot. So he was there and had a really cool, you know, Lunar New Year background and the whole thing. And it was basically the same kind of character meet and greet interaction that you get down at the lower lot, but he speaks Mandarin the entire time.
Well, we assume that it's the same since we don't speak Mandarin.
And it's this type of experience.
Yes, and I also assume based on the reactions of the people that were standing in line.
Yeah, so we stood there, we took some video, we took some pictures, and like we didn't want to get in line because neither of us speak Mandarin, and so A, we wouldn't have understood what Megatron said anyways, but B, that would have been taking time away from other people who, you know, really would have enjoyed it more. So we just wanted to sit and, or, you know, kind of watch and see what was going on, but the reactions from the people who did the meet and greet were really good. So
I do have a comparison. I think I mentioned it to you, but I swear to mention on the show. Because, yeah, you could hear, you know, Megatron as you're navigating around, you know, the area. And it's in Megatron's voice is, you know, very low, you know, voice. And I was like, it sounds like Jabba the Hutt is just like hanging out right on the other side of this wall, like it's like because Jabba and Roxy is just staring blankly.
I did not get that at all.
Jabba the Hutt
sounds like so.
She doesn't know. Jabba the Hutt does not speak English, but he's got this really like
that voice.
So it sounded like Jabba the Hutt was hanging out.
It was funny though because we were we went over and there was no Megatron and we were like, oh. Okay, fine. So we're like just kind of hanging out and James is like, oh, let's go get some pictures over here of this stuff. So James is taking pictures and like my spider senses went off. And I was like, James, Megatron's back. We couldn't see him. He was totally on the other side of where we were. But I was like, Megatron's back.
He sensed his presence. And I heard his Jabba the Hutt laugh. And we knew he was there.
I sensed a fellow Decepticon.
And just to wrap up the Lunar New Year celebration, I think this is awesome. It's the second year that they've done it, and I applaud all the limited time fun offerings that Universal Hollywood does and has done in the past. This is actually a little bit of a long history with the park of doing these really cool events in this time of year. And I just want to bring up from my youth that there's this really, really awesome thing they did. This must have been 90, 91, 92. I don't remember what year it was. But they had for 2 weekends in February of that year, it was like this Ninja Turtles experience.
Neat.
Where they built, it was like a sewer set, and you like get to, you walk down to the sewer, and you go through, you pass by Shredder, and at the end, you know, Ninja Turtles are there waiting for you.
I miss all the coolest stuff.
Yeah, it was 2 weekends in February in the 90s. It wasn't really around very often.
Man.
Anyways, I just thought it'd be fun to bring it up. But anyways, I think this is a great Limited offering. I love how they have Grinchmas. And I wish that they had these things all the time. I don't think there's anything coming for a while. And obviously don't need this type of things in the summer when the park is super busy. But I feel like they need one more before summer. Obviously fall is Horror Nights and then Grinchmas.
Yep. It would be neat if they did some kind of, I don't know, spring something or other. I don't know. But I really like these events too. I think they're really cool. I loved Grinchmas and I loved this one. So.
Right on. So I'm interested to hear kind of your thoughts on the things we did. This was not your first time to the park recently. This is but your only your second.
Yes.
During daytime operating hours as an adult.
My entire life, I have been to Universal Studios Hollywood 4 times. This was the 3rd time in the last 6 months.
You mean the 4th time? Oh, yeah, that's...
No, this is the 3rd time in the last 6 months.
It is?
Yeah, because we went for... I went when I was little, and then we went for Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, you're including the time you're little. Okay, yeah.
4 times total. 3 times in the last year. But yeah, this was basically my first, like, daytime. So I got to go on the studio tour, and that was really cool. That was different.
Oh, yeah, because last year, you just first time on the studio tour as an adult.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that? Is it interesting to hear your, like, kind of fresh? Because I've been to the park many times, and I don't have fresh eyes on a lot of the things, so I'm interested to hear your take.
I didn't remember a lot. There were a few things that I remembered, obviously. I remembered the flash flood, I remembered Jaws, and I remembered the bridge, but really only after you guys reminded me of it.
Oh, we haven't mentioned that. While we were there, we had run into... Sabina, who has contributed on our show, particularly the Horror Nights Orlando episodes of Stay Haunted. But she was there as well.
And she's awesome. So she hung out with us for a little bit.
We did the tram tour with her and a few activities.
Yep.
And so Sabina and I were nerding out a lot about old things.
It was neat. It was really cool because, like, I kind of knew when something was going to happen because one of them would, like, make a little, like, sarcastic comment or something.
Like, I hope it doesn't rain.
Man, I hope we don't get wet again. But, the 3D glasses. So they handed us 3D glasses, like, before we get on the ride, and I was so confused. I was like, what?
Oh, 3D glasses. Yeah.
What?
I thought you said the 3 glasses.
No,
like
3D glasses. Oh, 3D. I was totally confused. I was like, I don't understand what these are for. This whole ride is outside. And they just looked at me and were like, well, not quite.
No, not quite.
So all of that was totally new. And that was pretty awesome. King Kong was neat. Like, I thought it was really well done. A little wet, but well done. The Fast and the Furious thing, I'm a huge fan of Fast and Furious. So I didn't love it, but I thought it was cool that there was something there. Like, while we're on the tour, we're going through suburbia, and then Dom's car was, like, parked in a driveway. I was like, hold on. Wait a minute. I'm like, that doesn't belong here. And then, you know, of course, like, they go into the whole spiel and whatnot, and I was like, that's awesome.
What's interesting is that, so Fast and Furious I don't know if it's that's what it's called or not, whatever. That's what the name of the ride is in Orlando. But it's been there like since 2015, since I've moved out west and started going to the parks a lot. That's the summer that it opened. And since then, I try to go on the studio tour as much as possible just because you never know what's going to be changed or different or what you're going to see. I mean, it's usually the same stuff, but that's just something I like to do. But the presentation leading up to the Fast and Furious part has never been consistent.
Okay. All right.
Like, when it first opened, all throughout the tour, there was all these, like, clues and interruptions over the thing. And this one was pretty much just like right before we went in there the last time that you got clues that Fast and Furious was coming. I've been on times when there was literally nothing. Like, there was Dom's car was like, we passed it, but it wasn't mentioned. I mean, the car's always there. Like, they're not consistent with the lead up to that part of the tour. I don't know if that's just based on the tour guide's prerogative
or what,
but and so I've gone times where we just literally no mention of it, and then we pull up to it and it was just like, well, we better go inside.
Well, I'm a huge car fan, you know, especially like movie and TV cars and whatnot. So when we came to the point on the tour where you go past all of the cars, like, I was super excited. And of course, the first car that you go past is Kit. And it's the new Kit from the new Knight Rider. But I mean, that car is beautiful, so I'm okay with that. But it was like my most remembered story, and my like number one Universal story involves the original Kit from Knight Rider. So being on the tour and driving up and seeing Kit from Knight Rider in this line of famous cars was just like, I had like a little girl, like, happy moment. So,
aww. Very cute. I'm trying to think of anything else really interesting from that going on the tour. What was actually interesting was that the first time ever, many times I've gone on the studio tour, Jaws was not in operation. The lagoon was drained.
And there were just people working in it.
So I found that very interesting.
I also thought it was interesting that they didn't mention it.
Yeah.
You know, not even a like,
Because we drove by it.
Yeah, we drove by it. We saw the people working, and there wasn't even like an offhanded, you know, mention of seafood or the, I don't know. I would have like thrown something in, you know, like, I don't know. But
so, oh, and to conclude all this. So you've been on our recordings as Grant and I discuss our disapproval of the Fast and Furious Supercharge attraction in Orlando. So now that you've been on the tram tour, I'm going to tell you that is the ride in Orlando. like that is the ride, like what's on the tram tour. But that it's like so imagine you waited in line and you got on a tram. The same thing, and then you drove into those scenes and then did that thing at the end.
That's the whole ride?
Yes, that's the ride. That's why people are like, what is this? I don't understand. Like, this is horrible. It literally is the same thing. It's the same video. It ends the same way. Only thing, it doesn't have the you could ride with our crew anytime wrap up video. But it ends the same way.
That's upsetting. that's disheartening. Like, I was excited to go to Orlando. I love the Fast and the Furious franchise. Like, I'll
say this: the queue and leading up to the queue is a fun part experience, I guess, because it's okay. Though you're walking through their headquarters,
right on,
and there's lots of Easter eggs of things there, and there's even a shot of an outdoor table with empty Corona bottles, very reminiscent of it. So there's fun little things like that, you know. But I'm just saying, like, I just want you to understand when it comes to the, when you hear us talking about how we're not impressed with the experience of the ride. And to me, I like it on the tram tour.
Yeah, it's a cool addition to the tram tour. I can't imagine it being its own ride, though, like that. Wow. Okay.
Again, not Fast or Furious.
No, it is not. Not at all. It's nice to see the characters and stuff, but like I just, okay. So yeah, but the tram tour was a lot of fun. I really liked it. I was shocked by King Kong, though, because I did not know that any of the 3D stuff was there to begin with. So when we got glasses, I knew something was going to be there, but I did not know it was going to be something like that. So it was really cool.
Yeah. I'm taking on your trip and when you're a little kid that the King Kong thing wasn't there, like not that, but there was an original King Kong experience.
I do not remember.
I don't think you would forget. Because essentially, it was like the hugest animatronic ever built, like King Kong head the size of a building, shaking the tram, built by veteran Disney Imagineer Bob Gurr, who created the Omni Mover. I
feel like somewhere in the back of my brain, like that's there. But it could literally be from a Universal commercial when I was a kid.
Yeah, that was definitely in commercials. So
you know, yeah. like I was telling you and Sabina, what I really remember from being a kid about the tram tour is that it was kind of boring, and then it was terrifying, and then it was kind of boring, and then it was terrifying, and then it went back to becoming boring, and then it was terrifying. So that is my experience from being a kid. I just remember that it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'd imagine a lot of that stuff is probably pretty boring for a kid because you're like, here's where the old Contenders was filmed. Or
yeah.
Here's that classic set of Bob and John. I don't know.
And then Jaws tried to attack.
Yeah.
You know, and like I was actually sitting right where the Jaws animatronic comes up, like I was on that side. Yeah. On the like the outside thing, so like that was absolutely terrifying. but no, it was cool. I liked it. I will definitely go on the tram tour again.
Well, I'll go with you.
What else did we do that I had never done before? Oh, I had my first butter beer.
Oh yeah, you used your first daytime trip to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Hogsmeade.
That's right.
And you
wouldn't let me go on the ride.
I did not stop you from doing anything. I just said that I wasn't going.
You did point out that it would be awfully difficult to do with my arm in a sling.
Yes.
In fact,
I don't think that you would have been able to go on the ride, so I didn't really stop you.
There was that.
The ride we're referencing, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, one of the greatest rides of all time, which you've been on before. So
yes,
I wasn't.
I've been on it once before, but I wanted to go on it again. But I did have my first butter beer, and that was really cool. Which one did I get? I got the
frozen.
I got the frozen one.
Yep. You asked me to pick, and that's what I did for you.
So that was awesome. So we're going to have to go back and spend a whole lot more time there.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen like 5 seconds of.
What was interesting was that we had abnormally cold weather in Southern California on that week, on that day. And I felt for the first time when I was in Hogsmeade that the visuals of snow on buildings matched the actual temperature.
I didn't notice, you know, I didn't that there was snow on everything. Like the first time that I saw it, it was nighttime. I might have noticed, but not really. Right. Yeah, I was watching the lights on Hogwarts, like it was, you know, but the frozen fountain that we were standing next to. I had to do it by the bathroom. I had to do a double take.
That's the first time I ever noticed that, ever, to be honest with you, that it was a frozen fountain right there.
Yeah, I had to do a double take because I wasn't sure if it was fake or if it was real because it was so damn cold.
It wasn't freezing water cold. It was just cold for Southern California.
We're spoiled, and that's cold. There was snow on the mountains. We can see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, yeah.
But, cold. No, we, and We went in the bathroom, and that was cool because Moaning Myrtle is in the bathroom, and I thought that was really, really neat.
And the bathrooms are you know, are really awesomely themed. It's not over-theming, but they are themed.
They are probably the best themed bathrooms I've ever seen in any theme park.
Well, you wait until you relieve yourself in the Rapunzel Tangled bathrooms in Magic Kingdom, because those are the best themed bathrooms of all time.
Okay, all right.
But
these were definitely good. Like,
yes, they're
really
great.
Well themed down to. Like, they had the old toilet,
the pipes
behind the toilets, like
to make it look like your waist was going up.
Yeah,
some pipes, I guess. Cool. I don't know. You know, do like a whole bathroom episode. I don't know who'd want to listen to that. Some weirdos, but and that was really. We didn't spend too much time in Hogsmeade. Just a little pop it in there. I know.
Yeah,
you can
get some butterbeer.
Well, that was how that started, because you're like, I need to go to the bathroom. I'm like, well, if you have to go to the bathroom, you might as well visit Myrtle.
That is literally what he said. I'm like, I got to pee. And I'm like looking around. He goes, well, like, super guy James over here.
I'm just saying, when you're on the upper lot, it's really anywhere on the upper lot is not that far away to walk to go visit Myrtle. That's all I'm saying. So I'm trying to think what else. I have a few points that I want to point out that I thought would be interesting to bring up on the show. So right now, Universal Hollywood is in the middle of changing their Jurassic Park River Adventure ride into an unnamed Jurassic World themed ride. And if you're familiar with that blueprint, it's not. It doesn't have the hugest blueprint that the Jurassic Park River Adventure. You know, half of it is indoors, the other half of it is outside, and it's kind of tucked in the corner of the lower lot. And when we're on the tram tour, it was the first time that I saw that the construction zone for that area has expanded to this huge space.
It is the lower lot.
Yes.
It's the whole lower lot. It goes from the show building that's by the escalators, because I you know, we're on the escalators, and I looked, and I asked James, oh, is that the show building for the Jurassic Park ride? And he was like, yeah, that's it. And then he was telling me a little bit about the ride, which is obviously closed right now. And then we're looking, and it goes from that show, and it curves around all the way to the Transformers ride.
Yeah, so there's the aforementioned Panda Express and some other – I think it's some other Universal store that – and maybe a Jurassic Park themed food stand or something, I don't remember, but there's those there, and then there was the Panda Express, some quick service food place, and then there was nothing, and then a big empty space next to the Transformers show building. Now, the construction zone has gone all the way behind all three of those restaurants and taken up the entire space next to the Transformers show building, which is the same size as the Transformers show building.
Yeah. Now, when we went for Halloween Horror Nights, the Stranger Things house was behind the Transformers building, right?
Right. That in a soundstage there.
So that little area, or that big area where they are doing construction right now, was part of the Stranger Things haunt line at that point, right?
Yes, a little part of it, but yes.
Okay. Okay.
The experience we had was special.
Yeah, I know. We had one.
So I'm trying not to sound like a jerk. I was like, so I don't know exactly where all that was, but for the first time since they announced they were doing it, I would say that when they said they were doing it at first, I was like, ah, that's cool, whatever. Like I something new. I just thought they were gonna just reskin a few things.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you know. But then I see the footprint of this, and I for the first time, I actually got excited for this experience, because I'm like, wow, this is such a huge footprint. Like, it's essentially, it's going to be the old space plus Transformers.
Yeah, it's crazy big.
Now, a lot of that space behind the restaurants was used for Horror Nights. There was always a house back there. I'm pretty sure there was one this year. I don't remember if there was. In the past, there was. I don't think there was one this year. But in the past, behind Jurassic Park, there was a house every year that, you know, as of recent. But that area's done. Like, there's no more houses back there.
Yeah, no.
And also this area in the past, if you've gone to Horror Nights there, what was over there? Stranger Things Q, for sure. But I think in the past is where the before Walking Dead attraction opened there. The Walking Dead was next to Transformers, and that whole area used to be Walking Dead Q as well, which was huge because that was at the time that was the height of popularity for the show. So people that might have experienced that. I mean, I'm sure they'll figure out where to put houses. You know, it's not that's their job. I mean, not mine. I mean, they have a huge back lot of sound stages to figure that out. But I'm excited for that. So that was one fun thing that we experienced there, or that I figured out, I guess. And the other cool thing that happened was we were coming up from the lower lot and we were going to meet Sabina to go on the tram tour. And so we were discussing that.
Yes. And then, you know, keep in mind, you guys, I still look like a total noob at Universal Studios because I don't really know where anything is.
So Roxy just said to me, where is the tram tour?
Oh, no. Actually, what I said was the tram tour is that way, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
And I was like proud of myself because we're standing in Springfield and like, of course, the tram tour, it's huge. The sign is huge. And I, like an idiot, goes that way, right?
So she said it was something that didn't need to be said out loud, but Roxy said it out loud. And do you want to tell the story? Yeah, you can tell.
Super cool cast member. Well, okay. First was like, yes, the tram tour is right over there, and points to this giant sign that anyone could see who was looking. And so, like, at first I felt kind of stupid. And then he was like, did you guys get Express Pass today? And I was like, no. And I automatically assumed that everyone just wants to talk because they want to have a conversation. And James automatically assumed that this guy's going to try to sell us Express Pass.
That's literally what I thought. I was like, dude, I'm like, she seems like she doesn't know what's going on, but I know what's going on. Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, and we don't need to buy the Express Pass.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I'm like, oh, how nice. This cast member wants to stop and talk to me because why wouldn't he? But I said, no, we didn't. And he was like, oh, well, here. And he pulled out basically an Express Pass and was like, this is good for up to 6 people. You can use it for any ride, including the tram tour.
And that was just so awesome. And the tram, there was like a hour wait.
Yeah.
When we went there.
There was an hour wait. It was the long, everything else was walk on.
Yeah.
Everything else we did was total. It was just straight walk on.
And we went during middle of the week after a rainstorm.
Yeah.
So I mean, we just lucked out on just generally that was just not like for a low crowd day. But that park could definitely pack it in real easy. But so I was kind of expecting the tram tour to be not that long either. But
yeah, but we walk up and it's like a 60-minute wait, and it's like and I'm like, should we still do this? And then this super cool, do they call them cast members at Universal? What are they called?
They're called team members at Universal.
Team members. So the super cool team member came up and obviously saw that I needed to go on the tram tour, but I didn't want to really wait. And so he fixed it.
He fixed it. Oh, because he said when he gave it, he's like, you can use it for the tram tour, and you probably should because it's a 60-minute wait right now.
That was awesome.
So yeah, that was just a cool little touch. I mean, I would say there was lots of little magical, fun things on this day there. That, you know, I mean, pretty much, you know, we covered the Lunar New Year stuff, and then we like turned into
children and were like,
yeah, and ran around Universal unsupervised.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is what happened. We put on our grown-up pants and we went to work and we covered the Lunar New Year event. And then we looked around and went, ooh, theme park. So, but we went on Minions. It was my first time on Minions. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah, I don't do it too often, but it's a fun ride. Minions Mayhem.
Did the Kung Fu Panda show ride?
Well, it's a DreamWorks Theater. And the current show, and there's Kung Fu Panda. And as I mentioned when we did our summer wrap-up, that is the probably best version of that type of experience in a theme park right now as far as a 3D theater show.
It was really cool.
Yeah, I think it's really well done. And I look forward to what else they're going to put there in the future, because they're kind of setting it up that they're going to obviously change it to other DreamWorks characters in the future. But...
And then, yeah, the only other thing we did was we went on the Transformers ride, which, I mean, duh.
Right. I think that is a ride, besides, like, Haunted Mansion or something like that, that I've done the most in, like, any theme park.
I'm going to say that if I go to Universal Studios and I do not get to go on the Transformers ride while we were at Universal Studios, I'm going to walk out of there a very unhappy person. So I just want to put that out there for the future, James, because
it's not my fault. I always want to go on it, and I always usually do. And there's very often, a lot of times when I go to the park, not for covering events, it's with Shannon. And she doesn't always want to go on it. And she'll go do whatever, and I will go on it by myself. Like, that's how often that I go on it. And, you know, in fact, I've probably been on the ride more times by myself than with another person. For sure. I would say that's almost a fact. So.
Yep. Yeah, but it was awesome. Although I think when we got on Minions, especially when we got on Transformers, and also when we did the Walking Dead walkthrough, every time I felt like either the people sitting next to us or the person that was helping us on the ride were looking at me like, "What on earth do you think you're doing?"
I didn't know you were having that experience.
Yeah. Like, the dude on the Transformers ride just looks at my arm and looks at the ride and looks at my arm. I'm like, I'm fine.
Why would they give you that look at Walking Dead? What is it's a walking.
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, it's not like we were, you know, no one's allowed to touch you or anything like that. But, like, I don't know, because it is kind of a haunt and people tend to get scared and run or fall or whatever.
Maybe people at The Walking Dead saw you and your Care Bears sling.
Oh,
and thought that you were like, yeah, they thought that you were like too soft to go through The Walking Dead haunt.
they saw the, like, the hair and the sparkly makeup and the Care Bear sling, and they thought, oh, look, a cream puff. They were wrong.
Maybe that's what they thought.
Good point. And it is very possible. But as usual, when it comes to haunts, I did not get scared at all.
Yeah. Well, let's say The Walking Dead. I always like to go through it. Just because, you know, every time I go, just to keep that little bit of haunt magic going year round.
That's fair.
And there's a few parts of it that I like. It's not like my favorite thing ever as far as haunts go, but there's a few elements of it that I'm like, oh, like for one, it didn't happen this time, but almost every time, I thought actually as we were walking through, it was pretty conga line-y.
Okay.
Like, you know, it was just, you know, those people, like, right in front of us the whole time, right behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when I go through that, and especially in the off haunt season, it's the line's pulsed quite a bit that you're almost alone through most of it.
Yeah, the line was definitely not long enough that we should have been put in with as many people as we were.
Yeah, so they were. Yeah, probably should have been a little less people with us. So, all that being said, for those that have experienced it, as soon as you kind of get going, you make around the corner, there's this cabin that's on fire, which diverts your attention. And then a zombie comes out from the side of the cabin where you're not looking. And even though I know it's coming, every time it startles me.
To the point where he even told me that it was going to startle him. Like, he knows that it's going to scare him. And
scare is a strong word. I'm just saying it startles me, like oh, because it's the pop out lighting cue sound combo, mm-hmm. and your attention's on that cabin looks like it's on fire.
Yeah, it's a good setup. It's a good combo. It totally works.
But they didn't get me this time because there were so many people. And you know what? It's usually just timed up perfectly for me, and it wasn't this time. But I like the scene when you go through the trucks and it has the torsos wiggling on the trucks. With the guys doing the guns, lip syncing along.
I did not get groped in this haunt. Which is a huge departure from what normally happens.
I'm really. You mentioned this in the past, and I'm kind of.
Yeah.
I'm kind of. So when you're saying that you getting groped is a regular occurrence in a haunt, who is doing this?
The actors.
Really?
It's always the actors. Yes, and when I say groped, I'm not saying I'm gonna file a, sexual harassment against the zombies. Okay, I mean. I am well endowed, and actors, can sometimes get a little close, and there has basically never been a haunt that I have walked through where I have not gotten, my boob brushed or my butt, grabbed.
So it's not a groping, but there's contact.
No, there's always some kind of contact, though, right. And this time, no one touched me the entire time we were in there, although one guy did get real close. But
yeah, I can't think of a haunt that I've been to where a scare actor touched my butt.
Yeah, well, it happens all the time. But one guy did get really close, and I like it when they take that risk and they go and they get that close, because I've worked haunts. I'm not against it. I think it actually gives you more of a scare or more of a feeling that you are in peril.
Yeah, the closer they get, sure.
Yeah, the closer they get. So I'm totally okay with it. I, whatever. I don't care. But he did get this one guy. He did get super, super close to me. And I actually turned because my arm was towards him. And so I turned to protect my arm.
Oh, so you moved away a little bit?
Yeah. And that was how I knew that he had gotten really, really close, because I just instinctively turned to protect my hurt arm.
Now, was this I got you. Was this at the end where there were a bunch of zombies in the gate, or was this somebody that was actually right in front of you?
No, this was he was behind something, but we had come around a corner, and he had come out. He was actually on my left-hand side, but he had come out in front.
Okay. Kind of.
And I know that, it was just instinct that I turned, but it was one of those things that was oh, okay, all right, I see you. good man.
I thought to me at the end, when you have to walk through this tight gate corridor with zombies sticking their arms out at you, the zombies almost always come inches away from my face when I do it. Now, what? I have mixed feelings about the attraction being there, because I've gone through it several times where parents have brought their very young children through the experience. And I'm talking like 5, 6 years old. And they're clearly, you know, beyond terrified about what they just experienced. And
I don't.
And I do have a problem with that. I'll be honest.
I have very, very strong feelings about that. And it's the same. Actually, it's the same as I feel Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. You know, if you're taking a 1 year old or a 2 year old in there and they are crying and screaming because they are so scared, don't take them in.
Well, I'd say a 1 year old is probably not really comprehending still, Disneyland, right?
if at that age they don't understand what they're looking at, it is still a frightening thing, you know. And with The Walking Dead, it really is scary. It's supposed to be scary. It's zombies and it's gross and there's blood and there's guts. And no, I do not think that small children should be taken in there. But that's not Universal's job. That's the parents' job. So
it is. And again, I don't think that's a blanket statement. Like, children should not do X, Y, or Z. I think the parents know their kids, and it should be up to the parents to decide what their kids can handle. That, you know, as a blanket statement, that's my opinion. But what I'm seeing happening is parents just doing whatever at the park without really knowing what they're about to walk into. I mean, you're 100 feet away from the Minions ride.
Right? <You know? laughs> maybe you could be put in a different spot. Like, maybe down near the Mummy.
That'd be more appropriate. I mean, those are the more kind of, you know, the thrill rides are down there, and you know, so you're going to get the more teen audience. But I think it says something about not recommended, or you know, it has some kind of warning. But it's just so, you know, I just think about walking through some of those parts as me, as a adult haunt fan, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm like, man, if I was walking through as a child that scene at the end where the gates and they're sticking their hands out through there, and like, that seems completely unsafe. Like, even as I know they're not going to touch me, it seems like they're going to grab at me every time. And that's why I said they come inches away from doing it. So as a very young child, I'm like, I don't know if they're comprehending it, but the age I'm seeing are like 6, 7 years old. Like, these are people, these are kids that are definitely
old enough to comprehend and still young enough to think that it's real.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I would not take my young child through The Walking Dead unless I really knew that they were going to enjoy it. You know, if you've got a 6 year old who loves watching The Walking Dead and like is a huge fan of zombies, yeah, take them through.
Right,
awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
If your kid is crying and obviously terrified, dude, there are emergency exits for a reason. Like, you got to go.
Yeah, I don't think the parents knew what they were getting into. And it's I have mixed feelings about it being there. But it's there, and in and just, I haven't heard about it closing, so but anyways, I feel like only other thing that we can talk about here to conclude that day at Universal Studios Hollywood was after we exited the park, we stopped by the world famous Voodoo Donut.
Oh yeah, and they had a little Year of the Pig donut. Well, they had a giant Year of the Pig donut,
yeah.
And a little Year of the Pig donut. And I think it's funny because they were like sitting next to each other, but we walked up, and that is what we were looking for. Well, I saw the little one, and James saw the big one, and we did not see the other one. So I was like, oh, that's a cute little donut. And he looks at me and is like, that's a meal.
Yeah, you think I thought you were talking about the big, huge donut. and in comparison, I would say the big donut was as big as the Simpsons, Homer Simpson big pink donut thing.
So if you are interested in going to Voodoo Donuts and getting the Year of the Pig donut, there is a choice between a giant one and a little one.
Yes, there is. But we didn't get any of them, so we can't comment on. I think that I don't like, and again, this is very controversial. And if people that have heard my review of Voodoo Donut on the unofficial Universal Orlando podcast, caused a lot of controversy when I said this, is that I don't eat donuts with filling in it.
Okay.
And I believe that the Year of the Pig donut had filling in it, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So I was not going to roll the dice on that, but it was a nice little, you know, it's always nice to stop by there. And I like that they're having limited time offerings there.
Yep. That makes it cool. You can go back and get something new.
All right. Well, that was our day. Is there anything else about that day?
I don't think so. Mention there? Go this weekend and check out the Lunar New Year event if you haven't, because it was a lot of fun.
That's right. It concludes this President's Day weekend. The last day of it is February 18th. That's right, there. Yep, February 18th.
So yeah, go check it out. Have fun. It's pretty awesome.
And of course, follow along on our social media accounts, particularly our Instagram stories when we're at these events, because get that real time. Fun stuff. All right. Thank you to Universal Studios Hollywood for inviting us to check out the Lunar New Year celebration and share all of that goodness with all of you. If you would like to contact us here at the Dark Theme Park Show, you can do so by emailing creepykingdom@gmail.com. And if you want even more Creepy Kingdom stuff and a way to support what we do here, not just on the podcast, but on the website and all our articles and videos and movies and clothing lines and everything that we do here at Creepy Kingdom, you could do so by checking out our Patreon. That's patreon.com/creepykingdom. Right now, as I speak, it is currently the only place that you can watch Foolish Mortals, our documentary about Haunted Mansion fans, online. And our exclusive bonus footage from Foolish Mortals with Disney legend Rolly Crump, exclusively in our Patreon. And our upcoming Patreon exclusive podcast, The Uncensored Live from the Dungeon, will be premiering very soon. All that fun stuff waiting for you at patreon.com/creepykingdom. And of course, for videos, pictures from the Lunar New Year event, show notes, as far as links to all of our social media, our articles, all the fun stuff is waiting for you at creepykingdom.com. All right, well, until next time, the park is closed.